All right, Wednesday evening, 9/21/22. Do you hear me? Okay, all right. The title of this is The Return to Honor and Respect. You know, like people showing up when they tell you they're going to, not the next day at the end of the day or not at all, you know? Anyway, I'll just read to you what this was my thought. Yesterday, as I was out and about, was just talking to the Lord about how there just doesn't seem to be any honor or respect anymore. Fast food in one area where people used to take more care that they were turning out a good product. We were talking about that. You know, they used to, I hate to use the word take pride, but they cared about the quality. Yeah, they cared about the quality. Not just the quantity. How fast can we get it out and how much money can we make by getting it out as fast as we can? Slop it on there. If it misses, fine, no big deal. Or if we get it wrong, who cares? You know, just that general consensus of the world and the way it's become from where we were. Oh, goodness. As I was thinking on this and couldn't think of the right words I was trying to express to the Lord, this scripture came to me. This is 2 Peter. And Lord knows over the last 2 years with the many people that we've dealt with and just the having to pay out more money to cover for one person's mistake that was not honorable. You know, these kind of things. This is the garbage we have to live with today. So, all right, 2 Peter 2. We're just going to read this few scriptures of this. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." You know, God's not very popular nowadays. Christians aren't either. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Huh, sound familiar. "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world." Now listen, all these injustices, all of these things that we see going on, nobody's going to get away with anything. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." That's the word the Lord spoke to me. Vexed. I said, "Lord, you're right. It's nearly getting to the place that it's not bearable." It really is. It's become unbearable. I was talking to someone last week. In fact, they had asked me to pray for them. And later the next day, I had some time, so I called them and we were talking about stuff because they felt like they were just to the end. You know, and I said, "I understand." I said, "I'm in the same place." I said, "She has different circumstances than I do." But it was like, I just tried to explain to her. I said, "Well, I believe that this is, that we're in the battle of Armageddon." And I said, everybody's going through this. Everybody's vexed. They are, I didn't use that word, but it's like you're just feeling like you're being pulled apart, nearly. It's so, the oppression, the pressure, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to name it, of having ungodly people around you and ungodly things being done all around you, that you can't look at anything, listen to anything, read anything that is not some gosh awful something way out there that's just ridiculous. It's like it's just picking at you constantly. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they. And it's not talking about the U.S. government. It's talking about God's government right here. God's government. Despise government. Presumptuous are they. Self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. You know, I was telling Danny that Brad Barton doesn't come on very often anymore. But once in a while when he does, he usually has really something good to share. And so he was sharing this Bo Polney, I think is her name. He was bringing some end time things, and it was very good. Some of it was, you know, I didn't totally agree with it. Doesn't matter. Like I said, we all have a part. But he had some really excellent stuff in there. And he had kept stopping the tape and just, why don't you just get off my channel? Just blaming and shaming and just being just horrible. And a lot of other truthers put up with it too. It's just, they have to have moderators to kick the trolls off because they just absolutely, nearly just eat them up with their ugliness and their nastiness. And a lot of them are young people. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. See, these young people, they don't have a clue about how to wipe their tushes, much less do anything else. All they've done is been raised on a cell phone or an iPad, and they don't know nothing about nothing. And they're spouting off their venom, spouting their venom. This is the next generation. And shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Ha! Where have we heard that, seen that? They're telling us to gear up for more of it. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean, escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed her wallowing in the mire. So I'm thinking, man, Peter's writing about this in his day. How much more so do we see this kind of stuff in our day? I just learned, and I did speak against it, this Letitia James. She has got a vendetta against the president. What is she, anyway?
She's the Attorney General of New York.
Okay, the Attorney General of New York, black woman. I tell you what, nothing against black women. There's some beautiful black women that have beautiful spirits. But this woman, I'm telling you what, she's horrible. And now she's going to sue Trump and all of her children. She has sued Trump, I forget how many times, and he's beat her every time. Just a harassment, just harassment, just trolling, just this spirit I'm talking about. Just, I'm thinking, Lord, this woman, just like Herod, this woman has to be taken down, or this spirit in her. I spoke to the spirit in her. I said, you will stop harassing our president and his family. I mean, it's just unreal. This added more fuel to the fire. All right. This is what the word vexed means. To labor down, wear with toil, harass and oppress. Yeah. We have leaders, bad leaders. They're trying to vex us in any way possible. They're trying to suppress us in any way possible. But see, they've been doing it for 6,000 years, but now the difference is the whole earth is filled. We're to the days of Noah. The whole earth is filled with this vexation. Thank God that there's God's raising up people to help us come out of this sorry state. Acts chapter 12. I mean, the few people that I have seen that are this way, it's like they have no sense of even normal reasoning. They nearly are insane. They go berserk and go nearly insane, which are classic for MK Ultra victims. They're just triggered. One thing, I mean, a man gets killed, a black woman killed him. Or I think is what it was in a restaurant, because he complained in a Wendy's or somewhere that his fries were cold, and she killed him. You know, this kind of thing, this kind of out of control spirit. Yeah. All right, this is chapter 12 of Acts. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a certainty that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews, And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren, until he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers, commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Boy, he was something, wasn't he? And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sodom, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and made an oration to them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of God, and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, and because he gave not glory to God glory, and he was eaten of worms, and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So vex here means to injure or exasperate. That is a good word, exasperated. Do you feel exasperated? I do. Seems nothing has changed throughout church history, has it? People targeting the church. The deep state, above all, has targeted the church. All right. What does God require us to do to combat this? Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures here. 1 Timothy 2. Do we act like maniacs and idiots like they do? Not even acting rational? Like something out of some horror movie? No. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. See, we got so many bashing our leaders. They bash. All they do is trash and bash. They're not praying, they're bashing. And Christians are the worst, and I think that's so terrible. And see, you know, when Brad was on there, there's Christians on there talking about, well, he got the scriptures wrong, and he did. And that's when I thought, you know, this man, God's given him a revelation on certain things, but that don't mean he's wrong. Just because his opinion or what God has given him and his part is different from yours, right? We don't know what spirit we're of, do we? I'm thinking, Lord, help us. Help us to be careful that we don't criticize other Christians, even if we don't agree, because they have their part. I certainly have a different part that nobody has the same opinion of that I've heard. And I'm going, and they've stayed away by the thousands because of it. Does that make me wrong? No. I've had a revelation from God. But I can't criticize them because they won't listen or they won't this or that. I mean, if they're a Baptist and they're walking in all the light God's given them, then they're okay. You understand? All right, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Wherefore I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and a lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. See, it's not just the world, it's the church. They're usually the worst critics. You know what? When we do this, when we do things God's way, we don't repay evil for evil, then God can take care of a wicked leader like he did Herod. Peter didn't come against Herod that I know of. We cannot stoop to their level. We must rise above it. Probably every Christian, you can find something that a preacher says that you agree with. Right? Well, at least one thing, probably. See, the failure of the church, as the church goes, so goes the world. Yeah. All right, let's go to James 2. We're supposed to be a city on a hill. We're supposed to be an example where all can see our lives and see Jesus. We're not like the rest of everybody else that's having their meltdowns and acting out and being ugly and saying ugly things. But we are the ones that are saying blessing and not cursing. All right, James 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, or convinced of the law as a transgressor. For whosoever will keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. See, we think in our nation that the problem is if we'll just get rid of these wicked leaders have to go. I don't think that's the problem. I think it's the church doing what they're supposed to do. If we were praying for our leaders, maybe they wouldn't have gone bad. Like I said, what the Lord's repeatedly said, as the church is, so goes the nation. All right, let's keep going here. 1 Peter 4. Verse 12. It's just something to think about. Instead of getting so vexed and just so put out and just so you felt like you just want to scream, that's the time that we need to look to heaven and say, Lord, I just pray for those people. I just bless those people. Lord, help them. Because the way they're headed, it's not a good end for them. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. But if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. See, we're not supposed to judge, even though sometimes it's hard not to. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. That's what happened with Peter. Peter was pretty sure he's going to be executed the next morning. What happened? The church prayed. And he got delivered. All right, Acts 2:40. This word came to me. It's only one time in the Bible. 2:40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. This is what untoward means. Warped, winding, and perverse. Yeah. You know, we don't give a lot of credence to a lot of the Old Testament scriptures, especially the Ten Commandments, but today the Lord kind of brought the Ten Commandments up to me and let me know that the Ten Commandments are established in the Gospels and in the Epistles. They're just worded differently, but they are the same thing. Okay? We're going to look at that. All right. This is Exodus 20. It lists the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20. See, the children of Israel, they were coming out of Egypt. They acted like Egyptians. They walked like an Egyptian, you know what I'm saying? They acted like an Egyptian. They probably worshipped idols and did the stuff the Egyptians did. So Moses went up into the mountain, brought down God's law. All right, Exodus 1:21. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. A lot like our society today. They were just all over the place. Just awful. I've never seen such awfulness in my life. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The Egyptians had multiple gods, all kinds of gods. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, as in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, or his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. There's the Ten Commandments. What's that about? Honor and respecting God and honor and respecting your neighbor, people. On down the line. Exactly. All right, Jesus summed it all up in this in Matthew 22. Starting with verse 36 there. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So who's your neighbor? Anybody and everybody, whether they're a believer or not, right? All right, Matthew 15. I've got a few scriptures through now the New Testament. Matthew 15. It was amazing to me how many times the Lord talked about honoring your father and mother in the epistle, in the Gospels. All right, this is verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? See what I'm saying? Instead of loving your neighbor, loving God, we're judging our neighbor. Yeah. For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So they're making a judgment. Jesus was talking about honoring your father and mother. And they're looking at the people, the eating what was, okay, was in the, just a minute. They didn't wash their hands before they ate. So they judged them. Jesus said, what about honoring your father and mother? Does that sound like what you... Yeah. Like I said, Christians are the most judgmental people there are. I have to admit that. In fact, you know, we can't any of us get to the place that we think we know so much that we can actually point a finger and say we're the judge, because we're not in any form or fashion. Okay, let's keep going here. This is Matthew 19:19. Honor here means fix a valuation upon or to revere. Talking about honoring your father and mother. Fix a valuation upon or revere. In other words, esteem them highly. Didn't say, well, don't talk about how bad they treated you, but to esteem them. You're doing this for God's sake. That's what He's requiring. All right, Matthew 19:19. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Like I said, I didn't realize there was so many places in the scripture. Go back a couple of pages to chapter 7. I I think that's the judgment chapter. It is. Verse 1 says, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, or out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Yeah. Okay, Luke 18. Just a little different perspective on how to handle things and not getting into judgmentalism against people because they've messed everything up or that, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, you can get to the point that it's just everywhere you turn, you're just going, dear Lord. All right, Luke 18:18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. I thought about that. There's a problem. You've got to be taught it from your youth up. This is a lifestyle. This is a way of parenting, if you will. All right, Romans 12. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dear beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I like the Amplified. It says, master evil with good. See, the devil don't know what to do with that. And you know, I've seen a few of these millennials on social media that someone reached out with the love of God to them and it totally turned them around. And now they're seeing the right thing, the love. They've gone to Trump rallies and turned and flipped just the camaraderie and the unity. It spoke to them because that's what they're looking for. That's why they act out. They're used to acting out. Little kids nowadays, if you'll notice them, when they don't get what they want, they just throw fits and wail and scream and cry and roll around on the floor and do all this kind of stuff. And the parent just goes, well, little darling. They learn that behavior. It doesn't go away. They grow up and they act the same way. They throw some big fit in some store and kill somebody or bash a window out. And it's been going on all over the country. In 2020, it was everywhere. Yeah. All right, let's keep going. Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And it goes on about adultery and different things, but we're not going to go that far. I'm just letting you see, you know, God just looks at things differently. Most definitely looks at things differently. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. You know what love will do? It'll step up and diffuse a situation, a hostile situation. All right, Ephesians 5. Verse 22 says, wife, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and as Christ is head of the church, and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Does that mean if he doesn't love his wife, he don't love himself? I guess so. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. We get into the armor of God. See, when we're doing these things, we're going to have some power. When we got to do warfare, we're in line. We're respecting and honoring. Yeah. It's just it all flows together when we do what we need to be doing. How are they going to know unless we lead by example? The church has got a lot of teaching to do, because the church has been completely infiltrated with traditions of men. We're going to have to teach them the word. And I mean, I'm not going to be doing it by myself. All right, a few more scriptures and we'll be done. 1 Timothy 5. Verse 5 there, or verse 1 there says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. See, now it's all the parents. They stay at home and live off their parents till they're 35 years old, 50 years old. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he shall has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Wow. There's a lot of homeless. There's a lot of kids. These kids I'm talking about that don't know anything about anything, don't have any character or anything else, they grow up without a dad. We got to have mercy for them, because you never know when people are acting the way they do. Like this Letitia James, I'm thinking, what has happened in your life to make you the way you are? You know, the truth. What has made you this way? Who knows? Only God knows. We're going to have a lot of mercy and compassion on people. All right. 1 Peter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 3. We'll be done. Likewise, ye wives, verse 1, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives. See, it don't any difference. See, we reflect as husbands and wives reflects the Lord and the church. It's symbolism. It's one of our confessions that these young women will see the value of being keepers at home because that's God's order. We do it for the Lord's sake. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. See, if we would esteem our leaders and pray for them and do the honorable thing as the church, I don't believe we'd see what we see today. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. After this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Guys, this is church order. It's God's government. It is. It's not this government's this big thing over here. No. God's order is His government. And the gifts He gave to the church are to teach those things. That's what they did. They had to go in and teach people how to do right, husbands how to act, wives how to act, bosses how to act. What would we do towards leaders, whether they were good leaders or bad leaders? Honor and respect. It's all through the Bible, starting with the Ten Commandments. Honor and respect. That's where we're headed. You can't blame them if they've never been taught anything. They don't know anything. A lot of people just don't know how to be decent. Like I said, we're going to have a big job ahead of us. This is what we got to do. That's how you set things in order. Decently and in order. I got a little bit, but it's not on the, don't have to be on the